the latest racing news. It's At the Races with Steve Vick on Sirius XM Radio.
Tickets to the Belmont Stakes Racing Festival are on sale now. New York's premier three-day racing festival returns to historic Belmont Park June 6th through 8th. Buy tickets today and enjoy trackside reserve seats or enhance your experience with one of our premium hospitality packages to make this an unforgettable event. Grandstand admission starts at $15 and three-day festival passes are also available. Buy now at Ticketmaster.com or visit BelmontStakes.com. The Belmont Stakes, where champions are crowned.
Amazing achievements for Pennsylvania breads on the world stage. Thanks to Finest City, Unique Bella, and Shamrock Rose, PA joins Kentucky as the only state in the past decade to breed Eclipse Award champions three straight years. Add that to our unmatched incentives. Plus, our racehorse development fund can only be used to support PA breeding and racing. Why breed anywhere else? This is Brian Sanfratello. Go to PABred.com and see why Pennsylvania is the premier place to breed and race.
Horsebills.com is a cost-effective, time-saving, paperless revolution. Vendors are able to generate electronic invoices for owners and other vendors who can pay through Horsebills.com for just 50 cents. Turn hours of work into minutes with our easy-to-use site. Have our team take over your bookkeeping or continue to do it yourself and pay only our low monthly subscription fee. Check out our video tutorial on the Horsebills.com YouTube channel and get started today for free. Horsebills.com. Toll-free number 888-9000. 938-4643.
Learn the business of horses in the world's only accredited equine business program, the University of Louisville Equine Business Program. The University of Louisville has a legacy of excellence for more than 25 years of equine business education. Classes are taught by industry experts in state-of-the-art facilities located in the heartland of America's equine industry. The University of Louisville Equine Business Program. When it comes to horses, we mean business. For more information, visit business.louisville.edu/equine.
Why is accreditation important in aftercare? The Thoroughbred Aftercare Alliance's standard of accreditation and grant process provide donors with confidence that their contributions are allocated in the most effective manner. TAA accreditation is only awarded after a complete review of an organization. Aftercare cannot be an afterthought for the industry. To learn more or support the TAA's mission, visit thoroughbredaftercare.org.
Breaking down the biggest stories in the world of horse racing. This is At the Races with Steve Bick on Sirius XM Radio.
Raise the prices yesterday at the grocery store. Reckless man hanging out front, always gets ignored. Can we ever solve these problems in our changing world? Will our children ever get to play out in the yard? There's a new cattle world that's taking over. It's got devils, it's got angels. Sitting on my shoulders.
We're back at the races, about 15 to the top of the hour. Wanted to get a visit in with Mike Beard to look at the Thursday and Friday action. And then we'll talk to Mike on Friday to get the Saturday analysis. And as I said, going to the break, it's always too long between drinks when it comes to enjoying Mike Beard. Good morning.
I'm not easy to pin down, Steve. I don't make it easy for anybody.
No, really. I mean, we look forward to these visits, and part of it's me. You know, I also get out of the practice of reaching out and you know, getting you to visit.
Yeah, it's no worries. It's you know, less is more, as they say. Isn't that how it goes? Let's build up the anticipation between visits. And obviously, you know, for weekends like this, it's always nice to be on because the focus is on New York this weekend, and that's as it should be.
Very much. And, you know, one thing that I want to mention, too, because Andy Serling and I don't know, maybe 2 months ago, I guess it was during the winter, when there had been that sort of paradigm shift on the analysis, Mike, and you were basically doing almost all of the closer looks, and you basically were filling the entire field comments, and so you had to kind of read, which was okay by me, to read through your full expanded horse by horse opinions and impressions. And you know, you, I'm sure you found it valuable long term over the winter because I'm right.
Yeah, it's it wasn't almost all. It was all. I was doing the close look for every horse and every race.
Yeah,
but yeah, it's that stuff. It can be valuable for sure, because it obviously makes you focus on every horse and every race to really, you know, think about how you feel about them. It's just, you know, doing it that way is just not easy when you're doing it for a print deadline. I mean, you get the card the night before, and to have to write a closer look for every horse and every race due the next day by noon, you know, it doesn't leave you a lot of time to really think about. You know, I would much prefer to have time to go through the card maybe once and then think about it for a little while and then start writing. And when you have to do it that way, it doesn't afford you that opportunity. I mean, you basically get the card and you start writing. And so that's, you know, to me, that wasn't ideal, but yeah, it can certainly be valuable to have to really think about every horse and every race for sure.
Well, and how many bet backs and horses that when you looked at the race and when you discovered some horse that you could tell for that particular occasion was, you know, inappropriate, but then you were made aware of the horse and later on in, you know, down the road, the opportunity to bet him back.
Right. I mean, obviously, you know, the more you pay attention to this game, the better it is for you down the line. That's one of the reasons that I love having the time to go through replays and take like really detailed notes for every horse and every race, because that's when things will just strike you. It could be months later, but it's always valuable at some point. Even if it's not valuable right away, at some point something is going to turn up in your notes that makes it all worthwhile. And it only takes, you know, a couple of those things to make your year a really good one.
Well, now you're back doing the classic analysis, and you know, the three or four horses as part of, you know, the race by race analysis, and you know, that's fine.
Yeah.
You know,
I'm still doing a couple closer looks. I do the analysis for every race, like the old school analysis, and then I'll do closer looks for, you know, maybe two or three races on a card too. So you get a little bit of a closer look. And then I'll do the standard analysis for the rest.
Well, and David Aragona has started to do some, and then, of course, you know, some of the other stringers that over the years, you know, have done the closer looks. And it is funny because some races, what is the policy, Mike, on what races get closer looks? Because occasionally I expect to go find one, and it hasn't been done.
I know. I know. You know, with the staffing here, it's been hard to get them all covered, so now we don't do them for every race. You know, the decision is not mine. I get a note from one of the guys here that, you know, they say do these two closer looks, and David will do two, and then maybe somebody else will do one. I don't know how they decide. I think they just pick, you know, obviously I think we do all the stakes races, and then we just try and, you know, I think maybe just, you know, cover the better allowance optional claimer races and maybe
pass specials.
Some of the other ones. Yeah, and maiden specials for sure, they always get covered. But it's not my decision. I get the note, and they say do these two, and I don't.
Well, we're going to do a couple of the spots for tomorrow and for Friday, and weather-wise, I think we're okay. The rain actually is going to pretty much be gone by the time we start racing, and of course, the Thursday, the late post is going to help that card tomorrow, and things should be fine. So let's start with Thursday, and you know, even before we get to Saturday, we got two, I thought, really fun days of racing.
Yeah, they put together two really good cards. You know, unfortunately, you see that the Wonder again is race three tomorrow. You know, it's because it didn't draw a field. The newspaper record will be such a big favorite. You got to keep that race out of the, you know, the late multi-race sequences. But otherwise, the card surrounding that is terrific, and I thought, you know, Friday's card was probably even better.
Let's start with tomorrow, and you know, newspaper record as mentioned, it should be that much tighter from her experience in Kentucky, where she you know, Andy drove home the point yesterday, and I actually made it too. People are being dismissive in not understanding, you know, how good and ready Concrete Rose was in the spot, and Chad admitted that he brought newspaper in about 80% fit. So what else do you need to know? Concrete Rose came in hot and beat her on the square.
Yeah, it seemed pretty clear that newspaper record wasn't 100%, and you know, she didn't help her own cause. She you know, once again, she just seems like a pretty hard horse to handle early in her races. She really pulls, and I read it seemed like he couldn't get her settled in the Edgewood. I think she went a little too fast, considering her level of fitness for that race, and it caught up with her at the end. At some point, you know, you want to see her be a little more professional out there, but she's obviously super talented, and against this field, it doesn't seem like a good idea to take a shot against her in this spot. You know, hopefully she'll improve off of this race, and then we'll see her in the Belmont Oaks, and I'd like to see her, you know, be a real professional horse, though, because she's so talented.
Well, in addition to, you know, just the talent level, there's also the question that there really isn't anybody that is going to want to run with her. I mean, I suppose the horse that'll be maybe closest is her stablemate. It can't be her Park. Right?
Yeah, I don't think anybody can go with her early in this race. I don't see why they would want to either. You know, Cambier Park seems like the second most likely winner. Personally, I'm not a big fan of hers. I don't think she's necessarily that good. If I decided to take a shot against Newspaper Record or use anybody else, and I am unlikely to do that, I would go to Chocolate Kisses, just because I think she's a better turf horse, and I think she's getting back to the right surface here.
Talk about the fourth, and for those that might be interested in playing the early pick five, you know, with an obvious, I hate that, you know, free square. Mm-hmm. As a moniker, but I know that you actually made Pillar Mountain as much a best bet on the card. So and Pillar Mountain is not going to be favored, or at least not going postward. Going postward is the third choice, and so from a betting standpoint, it feels like you know, that's one of the reasons you leaned that way. But you know, the early pick five does have those two maiden races in the fourth and fifth, Mike, that could make this sequence worth playing.
Yeah, I think it could. I, you know, going to Pillar Mountain in the first, I just made that horse my best bet because I do think he fits well in this race. And it's just one of those situations where Coolin Rock, you know, he feels like he's going to be a really big favorite in the race. And obviously he's the horse to beat too. But I'm not that terrified to take a shot against him. I think Pillar Mountain could be a little bit better than he looks on paper, and I liked his first race off the layoff there, where it seemed like Pletcher was giving him a prep there just to let him run through the stretch. So I'm hoping that horse takes a step forward. In the fourth race, you know, it's just one of those loaded maiden races with, you know, tons of pedigree and tons of connections, and it's, you know, I always try to lean towards experienced horses in these races, you know, but the ones who have run, there's only two with experience, both trained by Jeremiah Englehart. You know, neither one of them look like they're that good. Although I will say that the 8 Rapid Ogata, you know, I feel like you almost have to use that horse. He debuted at Gulfstream. He got totally eliminated at the start of that race, bumped between horses. He wound up way, way back in the field, and then he made a run to contention and flattened out at the end. His debut is actually better than it looks. I would use him, but there are just so many interesting firsters that I went a different way when I was making picks for the race. But you know, obviously you have Liza Jambalaya on the rail, is a half to Paula Silverlining and Dad's Caps. They're both grade one winning sprinters for Vince Guderi. And Rudy Rodriguez is terrific with first time starters. He's one of those guys who I don't think gets a lot of credit for it, but his firsters, they are ready to run. Shug's horse, the 3, My Happy Place, Tap It, 575,000. The Dam, you remember her, Steve. She was a real good horse for Michael Dunn. Well, she just missed in the test. She was a grade 3 winner. I think she only won 3 times, but just ran lights out in a couple of grade 1 races that she didn't win. That horse was really good. Even Stifle Yourself, you know, it's interesting when you look, because I, you know, Cairo Prince, I feel like he's starting to turn out to be a really good sire. This horse is more turf on the Dam side. The only foal to run out of the Dam is another who Mott also trains, and he's won twice on turf. This is one of those situations where you want to look at Formulator. Because you think about Mott and you don't think first-time starters are ready. You feel like he doesn't win with a lot of them. With older filly and mare maidens, first-time starters and dirt sprints, he wins with a lot of them. 9 for his last 28 with a 350-plus ROI. Overall, with just older first-time starters and dirt sprints, he's 25% with a 377 ROI. These are the ones, for whatever reason, these are the ones that he has ready to run. And this horse seems like she's training pretty well. You know, there are two horses, you know, for guys on the outside, for Brown and Kieran. I picked the 9 on top just because I felt like this horse could get lost in the shuffle a little bit. The Shadwell Homebred, the sire, the hare, is a pretty good sire. He doesn't have a lot of foals out there, but he's 15% with his first-time starters. And this dam, you know, she was okay. She could run a little bit. She only ran on turf, but she won once, and she's a sister to Hello Liberty, who is a grade 2 sprinter, grade 1 place. She could really run. And Kieran's another guy who's a little bit underrated with these kinds of horses. So I picked that horse looking for a price, but, you know, you want to take some coverage in this race, I would think. And obviously, maybe take a look at the board.
I look at that you picked. That's interesting. You went that, you went 12-1 to Lately.
Yeah, she does feel like a horse could get lost in a wide open race. I don't know how to say it. I'm not even going to try to say it.
Delilati. We'll see what Larry comes up with in there. And
did you have a different opinion in that race? I don't know if you're done with
I just thought that the firsters, I mean, between the Dream Tree, Sib,
interesting, that horse only went for 150, but, you know, Uncle Mo.
Andy actually addressed that. That was as a weanling.
Oh, it was as a weanling, yeah. That's right.
That was as a weanling. As Dream Tree was. And so, you know, you think about 150, you know, for a weanling, and you say, well, yeah, that's real money.
Looks like she's training pretty well, too. So
my happy place, we had Ron Anderson, we touched on Rosario's presence there. But it's hard not to look at Liza Jambalaya and that family that has been just a parade of nice horses. You know, I didn't get a chance to discuss it with Andy because he certainly would have remembered. And he mentioned Conga Bella, but Conga Bella was, you want to talk about a trooper, 73 career starts, 15 wins.
Right. Yeah, nothing but runners from that mare, that's for sure.
Unbelievable. Dad's Caps, Ball of Silver Lining, Vicento. I mean, it's quite a parade out of a grindstone mare.
It's unbelievable.
Yeah, undoubtedly.
Ball of Silver Lining, she was real underrated, that horse. She got good for a long time.
That's a serious group. That gets us to the maiden fifth that closes out the late pick five. And you got the same quandary here. You've got firsters. You got some horses that made decent debuts, like Skep for Linda Rice. Although Linda didn't, David Fisher actually got this one going. And how about Kieran with the Orb for Mr. Finkel, or for Mr. Pollard that was bred by Hinkle? Keep Me in the Game, which is actually a funny name for a horse. Andrew Rosen. The fashion maven, and you get the sense that Andrew's telling Shug, get me a steak horse already again. I'm ready for one. He had Thieskin's Theory, and he's had a couple of decent ones here.
Some good ones. Yeah, he's had some good ones for Shug. That's who I picked in the race, actually, Keep Me in the Game. I thought her debut was actually pretty good at Keeneland. They just, first of all, the horse that won the race just went right to the lead and wired the field, and then, she came back to win again for Mike Maker, and, they took this horse back. I thought she was putting in a pretty nice run from the top of the stretch to the wire. It seemed to me like a really useful debut, and this horse has a big pedigree, a half-sister, obviously, to New Money Honey, who won a couple of grade ones for Chad Brown on the turf. So the pedigree's there. I thought the debut looked like a really useful one. And she was behind Chad's horse in that same race, who I suspect that the 6 will be the favorite at post time. I just don't know how I really feel about that horse, Steve. I mean, her two races in Ireland last year, were fine. She just missed in both. But she didn't win either of them. She didn't pick up her feet in the wait a while. I know it was a stakes race for her first start stateside, but she didn't really run in that race. And even though she was in the same race last time, I mean, she just had a perfect trip in there, right in behind the horse that was on the lead and won the race, and just never made any kind of impact on the race at all. I mean, maybe she needed it off the layoff, but I wasn't thrilled with her at a short price and thought maybe you could beat her. And I did like, Keep Me in the Game's debut. And, you know, the Kieran horse that you were mentioning the Orb, you know, the half-sister, the Divisadero, I won't be surprised when this horse can run. I would use that horse.
Did we talk about Ygritte at all? The Tappet filly, the Robert Evans homebred out of the, you know, the wonderful Irish Mission, and in fact this is her first foal. The Irish Mission has gotten, and Mr. Evans went to his own tonalist. So there's a double homebred for Mr. Evans.
Yeah, that horse was interesting too. You know, it's interesting to see because Clement is one of those guys who used to be really good with his first time starters on turf, and that's sort of tailed off the last year or two. But you know, he can still get one ready. I guess the only question you would have with this horse is a mile too short, because Irish Mission, I mean, forget about it. She wanted to go all day long. I don't know that a mile was her best distance. Maybe this horse will just be ready, and she's bred to be a good horse. It's just a question of whether she wants to go longer than this, and this is just, you know, sort of a jumping off point for her. But, you know, the dam could really run, and she's a Tappet. You know, outside of those horses that we already talked about, I, you know, had a little bit of a tough time. I thought maybe Toner's horse on the outside, Savvy Cairo, would be a horse you want to at least think about at a big price, because debuted in the slop sprinting, which I feel like is going to wind up being a prep for this horse. There's a lot of turf on the bottom of this pedigree. I feel like that's the surface this horse is meant for. She didn't draw well in post 12, but I won't be surprised when this horse takes a step forward.
Let's rip through the late pick four before we dive into Friday's card. And there's that good allowance I brought up with Ron Anderson as well, because Rosario on Roatan, who had some real 2-year-old quality about him, ran into Game Winner to end the season, and then he came back and showed up at Oaklawn. I was there that day and did not run well at 70 cents on the dollar, and came out with front bandages as well. So watch for that and see if they come off or they stay on. But Roatan in here, how about Chad Brown, you know, getting another try in here with Payne. Chad's Identity Politics beat him last time. Tapmaster in here for the Winchell Asmussen powerhouse, the Tappet colt out of the Indian run, and Topper T, who made some noise and you know, had a look about him at the beginning of the year as a 3-year-old, you know, that was going to, you know, potentially you know, try to do something along the Derby trail, but you know, very quickly was, you know, turned back and set up for sprinting.
Yeah, I guess they had high hopes for Topper T when they purchased him. They ran him in the Breeders' Cup and the Kentucky Jockey Club. Didn't work out based on what he's done so far this year, and they run him in a couple of graded stakes. He's been awful tough in this race. You know, I don't know what to do with Roatan. He's, you know, you feel like when you watch his 2-year-old races that this is what he wants to do, is sprint. He's a really fast horse, and he didn't really seem like he got the distance in the American Pharoah. Not that he was going to beat Game Winner anyway, but I don't know. You know, I guess I won't worry too much about the front wraps, because, you know, guys will do that on a sloppy track. Just put them on.
Sure.
He just didn't run well in that race. Maybe you just want to give him the, you know, layoff and slop excuse and say he's going to do better. There's not a ton of pace in this race. He's supposed to be on the front. So I'm afraid of him. I picked Payne in the race. I feel like a lot of people will pick Payne in this race. You know, you have to worry about a horse who's had 2 really long layoffs already in his career and has only run 4 times. But he looks like a real talent, and this goes back to his second career start. He ran great that day. That's one of those races where you just want to go and watch the replay and not just look at the line. He ran a huge race that day, making a big early move into a really fast pace, and it cost him at the end. And he was terrific in his first start for Chad last year. It was the only time he ran as a 3-year-old. He ran really big that day. Hirsch, who was also in this race, was making his debut in there, and Hirsch also ran a really big race that day. Those two horses looked pretty good to me. You know, Payne was going to win last time. I mean, he came off the layoff, and he was clearly ready to go. He kept close, and he just unfortunately got trapped in behind the Tapmaster on the lead and clipped his heels, and he almost went down in mid-stretch. It was amazing that he got back up for second. He ran a huge race last time. But it's, you know, one of those trips that everybody saw, so it just sort of feels like he's the one people will bet back in this race. You know, I picked him on top. I would, you know, mostly use him and Roatan But I'm not against Hirsch. Hirsch, when he broke his maiden at Saratoga last summer, he ran really well that day. That horse looks like he's got some talent. You know, coming off a 306-day layoff, though, against these two horses is not easy.
Well, no, that is the other issue, absolutely. Coming off the bullet.
Yeah, looks like he's been training okay. I need a line to Welsh or somebody as clock. I can't just look at the times and get anything out of it. I need somebody to tell me what they like.
Well, the 3-day clocker report will debut tomorrow, and you get
it's always
all
too late
days.
For me, Steve. I got to have these.
That's true.
In 3 days ahead of time, I can't wait for the clocker report.
Well, you can when it comes to putting the money through the window, though, that'll help.
It definitely comes into play then.
You got the 7th and 8th. We got the 2-year-old fillies in the Astoria, and then the Intercontinental, which is, I thought, pretty entertaining. Because I'm not convinced. 2-1 on significant form. We'll get to that. But what are you doing with the 2-year-old fillies?
You know, I took. I don't even remember who I picked in the race now. This is the filly race. I'm thinking about the colt race. I like Perfect Alibi in here, the Cassie Sky Mesa filly. I liked her debut a lot. I feel like I'm always, I feel like I always go for horses like this when they're in their debuts. You know, the ones that show big speed, you know, obviously are the ones that catch the eye. I like these, the ones that don't really have a lot of speed. This horse got outpaced early in that race, going 5 furlongs, but you know, she managed to not get outrun, to keep it the pace and range. I like the way she came and got that horse on the lead. And, you know, a little bit of an awkward lead change at about the 8th pole. It felt like she, you know, wasn't that professional with it. But once she changed her lead, she won that race very impressively, I thought. I really liked her debut. So I'm going there. I'll admit that I took a long look at Marianne or Ginger on the rail. Just because Jeremiah... You know, he's one of those guys very quickly becoming one of the better first-out trainers in New York or anywhere. His first-time starters are ready to run. I feel like if he's debuting this horse in this race, that horse has some talent. I hate taking a first-time starter in races like this, but, and, you know, drawing the rail maybe didn't do any favors, but I suspect that horse can run a little bit.
Well, how about him bringing Vargas up from Laurel?
Yeah, that's right. Exactly. That's another thing that I didn't even really consider, but you're right.
That horse
is very dangerous. And I'll be interested to see how much money she takes. I bet you she gets that a little bit.
And of course, another wonderfully named horse from Al Gold. And nothing is greater than Al Gold descending from the clubhouse after a win. At Saratoga, it's the best, with the arms extended and taking in all the adulation. Nobody wins like Al Gold, and nobody deserves to win.
That's right. You've got to enjoy it when you win these races.
Al enjoys. Al has every right to enjoy. Let's turn to the Intercontinental. And, of course, the Jiper on Saturday that doesn't have to be just for the boys, but the Intercontinental, 7/8. And maybe this is what wakes significant form up. Andy said he thought that, you know, she had reasons and explanations for, you know, the second half of the season fade, barn, from her own stablemates, I think she's a questionable favorite.
Well, Andy and I haven't talked about it, but I sort of take the same position I think that he does, that, you know, when I pulled the PPs for this race, first of all, I wasn't sure how they were going to bet the race. I didn't have the morning line before my analysis was done, and I was wondering, you know, how the race might get bet and who would be the favorite. And as it turns out, David made significant form a pretty heavy favorite in the race, which, you know, I wasn't sure if that was going to happen, but we'll see. I really, really prefer her going shorter than I do going longer. You know, I was shocked when I pulled the PPs and she only has 2 wins, because I think she's a lot better than that. She was disqualified from one as well, but she's only got the 2 wins. But, I mean, really, she ran really well as a 2-year-old, I thought, in all of her races. And then off the layoff last year, I mean, she couldn't have looked, it wasn't a strong field, but she couldn't have looked any better winning the Memories of Silver last year. Really sharp, right from the start, never gave that field a chance. You're Chad Brown, you have a horse like her, you point her for the Belmont Oaks. I feel like, unfortunately for her, she doesn't really want to go that far. Her Wonder Again wasn't bad. I didn't think it was bad at all. La Signare got loose on the lead in there. It was a slow pace, and this horse, you know, sat in behind, and then when she came to challenge, that horse still had something left, and Living Form just couldn't catch her. But it felt like, you know, the pace and the distance probably conspired to work against her. Her Belmont Oaks I didn't think was bad at all. I thought she had a little bit of a trip in there, you know, sort of sitting in behind, and she was held up for a long way in there, waiting to come clear. But once again, once she got clear, I she didn't finish. I don't think she wants to go that far. She didn't run bad, but I think the distance was too much for her. And then, you know, soft turf against Rushing Fall in a dirt race. I don't care about those two races. She's been sharp off the layoff. You know, as a first-time starter, she was sharp off the layoff. Last year, she was sharp off the layoff. And I feel like coming back sharp off the layoff at a shorter distance, it might be all it takes. That and then combined with the fact that her two stablemates, I'm just not really sure how I feel about them. And so I picked Significant Form on top. Zanza felt like the other one for me. I'm willing to be wrong about Stella de Camelot. She's just not for me in this race. We'll see what happens. She's off the layoff. I thought, you know, the Pebbles with the 93 Buyer was good. I wasn't blown away by it, but maybe she's better than I'm giving her credit for. I know she has an excuse for the Mrs. Revere, so we'll see what happens. I thought Zanza was a little interesting because, you know, yielding turf off the layoff, and it felt like she just flattened out at the end, and it was such a strongly run race. That horse that won that race, Lamari, I mean, she couldn't be in any better form. She went right to the lead in there. She made a fast pace. She didn't stop. That was her fourth straight win. That horse is just raging right now. Zanza gets a pass for that race for me. I think she'll run better tomorrow.
I thought you wanted to also consider the horses outside, and I'm a huge Fire Key fan, and
yes.
All she does is just run, and Jimmy Ryerson sends her. Jimmy kind of struggling so far since the racing moved here to Long Island. The Broadway Run doesn't seem outlandish either for Terra Nova.
You know, it's interesting. I'm a huge Fire Key fan. And I don't, you know, yeah, maybe Ryerson's struggling a little bit right now, but I don't think the trainer matters for Fire Key because she just runs no matter what. So she's interesting, but I actually liked Broadway Run. I had that license fee. That was her first start of the year. Yeah, she ran really well in there. Yeah, almost getting to Fire Key, who was just in control of that pace the entire way. That was a pretty nice run that Broadway Run made in that race. You know, 7 furlongs, I don't know. You know, maybe it's a little, you know, the 7 furlong turf races, you know, they can be a little bit tricky because they're sprints, but I don't think they're really meant for the shorter sprinters. These races, I personally always want, you know, maybe the miler type horses in these races, but you know, Broadway Run, she hasn't run a bad race yet. She was my second horse in this race. I like Significant Form, but I'm using Broadway Run as well.
And if you're looking, you know, there's obviously the imports that are at prices like the German Binti Elnar, but Fear No Evil to me is a, you know, a horse that I kind of paused over, and Albert Trani is, you know, has really become a turf trainer, more or less, number one. And he's effective with the turf sprinting. And this may be Line of David's best horse.
That's no doubt.
Five-year-old mare.
She's another one who, she got so good. She got so much better as a four-year-old than she was at three. She's another one that I feel like I would be a little worried about 7 for her. But, I mean, if you like Fire Key, how do you not like this horse? They've run against each other 3 times. Very recently, and it's been very close in all 3 of those
exactly.
races.
Exactly.
This is going to be a huge price in here.
Well, I mean, the license, the Fire Key, Broadway Run, Fear No Evil were 1, 2, 3 in the license fee, and I find this to be a really fun group,
it's
a one great
of the,
feature.
Maybe it's interesting, too, because it is one of those races where Chad has 3, and it's one where none of his 3 has to, you know, they don't have to win this race. It's open to a lot of different horses.
Let's turn to, well, I guess, who'd you put in the anchor? Who'd you put in the nightcap? Who'd you use?
In the nightcap, I put, I put Plebe on top. It's off the layoff. We'll see what he does. He's a new gelding, though. I liked his two races last year. I think he was going to win that race at Saratoga last summer. He was going to win that race, but Lescano could not ride him. This horse was lugging in all through the stretch. And he would not run in a straight line for Lescano, who just couldn't get into it. This horse comes back. If the gelding helps him, this horse is better than he looks on paper.
Let's turn to Friday. Mike Beer joining us. And I looked this morning, and the quick sheet wasn't done. I always use the quick sheet, Mike, to top my PPs. And so let me see if...
Should be getting there pretty soon, I would think.
I would hope, right? I mean, we're 48 hours.
They have to wait
out
for everybody to get their, looks and...
Yes.
I think the deadline was noon today, so...
Oh, so no, it's not up.
They got a little more time to get that stuff in.
Well, let me... Certainly we can go to the Friday entries for morning line, because I don't even have... a morning line for tomorrow. Oh, no, it's... we don't have morning line, huh?
No,
for Friday?
No, I don't.
Wow.
Wow, that's...
Hey, all right. So
I'm sure. Yeah, I'm sure it's got to have been sent in already, but maybe they.
You would think.
Yeah.
All right.
I think they
wait for
everything to go final before they dress it all up.
Well, let's start. Let's hit the second half of the card and the first stake. The Better Roses, the Grade 3, 7/8, and we've got Separation of Powers and Dawn the Destroyer and Pacific Gale, Shalone. Not a big group, but a nice, well matched group.
Yeah, it is. I went a little bit off. Shalone and Separation of Powers, I guess, are the two horses to beat in the race. And I have a lot of respect for Shalone. I've always liked her. I bet her in the Breeders' Cup last year. I thought she ran great. And she just couldn't get it. I do wonder if seven is, maybe at her limit. She doesn't want to go any farther than that. We'll see. I think maybe she's the horse to beat, I struggle with this race, Steve, because I know Separation of Powers is going to run better. Second off the layoff than she did in the Vagrancy, where she didn't break great. The pace wasn't that fast. And, she just didn't feel like she was ready for her best effort that day. I know she's going to run better on Friday. And she's a two-time Grade 1 winner already. I'm not a huge fan of hers. I know that she's talented. I don't like her as much as everybody else does. I'll use her in the race. But I picked Dawn the Destroyer, and I'm just hoping that she gets a little more pace this time, a little bit more of a fairly run race. I like her at the seven. I really like the way she came back off that layoff. When they gave her the throat surgery, she came back in November. I really liked her first two races, and I felt like I could make enough excuses for her last three races to give her one more go in here. I don't think she's run great in her last three. But I can make enough excuses for those races to give her one more chance in here. I felt like she'd be a square price. I just want to try her because I don't love the favorites.
Well, you've got the looming specter of Jason Service with the Union Rags filly, my big Italian friend. She's been okay.
Yeah. She's been okay. She's improved for sure.
She's been consistent. The horse that you have to respect, the Pacific Gale, who all of a sudden connected the dots over the winter, going into the fall. It hasn't paid off in terms of wins, but she at big prices. I mean, especially that performance in the Distaff when it took Come Dancing exploding.
Yeah.
And running that crazy 114 buyer that she then backed up. Pacific Gale, this feels like her big opportunity to break through.
It really does. I guess the only thing that held me back, honestly, is what you just mentioned, is that she's been basically big prices right along, and I think those days are over. What was she, 7-2 last time? In the Vagrancy, she might be shorter than that this time, just based on the figures she's been running. We'll see how they bet it. If she's the fourth choice in the race, I have no argument with her. If she's a shorter price than Dawn the Destroyer, then I still want Dawn the Destroyer.
Well, group of seven in that Grade 3 Bed of Roses. We've got a third level allowance that goes the mile as the six. Then we get to the boys, the two-year-old boys, and you got to figure that in the Tremont Richie Raven and Wesley Ward, and of course Ward, not only does Richie does he own Rich Raven? Of course, this one comes out of Richie's party girl, who was all right. And this is the American Pharoah filly. Yeah,
Richie's party girl, really good horse. She was a more of a turf horse, but she was a good horse. She was fast. Yeah, I think Maven's the horse to beat. I liked her debut. She got an 84 buyer for it. She showed big speed in there. And I like debuts like that one where, yeah, she was fastest early and won. But that horse that finished second to her, who came back to win her next start, that horse made this horse run every step of the way. This horse didn't get the coast to the end of that race because Lebda kept coming after her. So I think that win, Maven gets some extra credit for that. So I'm not way against her, but she'll have some speed to contend with in here. And I wound up picking Ask Me Since Horse on top, Memorable. Only got a 57 buyer for her debut, but I felt like she might have run a little bit better than the figure suggests. It was a sloppy track. She had speed, but she had to contend. There was another Ward, first-time starter in there, who went off at, as an odds-on favorite. And, you know, Memorable had to race that horse early, and then when he put that horse away, he had the runner-up come and take another run at him. And Memorable was up for that. He turned that horse away, too. I thought his debut was really good and maybe better than the 57 suggests. And now he's on the outside, so... You know, if Maven has to race somebody early, that O'Neill horse showed a lot of speed out in, at Santa Anita. Maybe Maven has to race somebody else early and Memorable can fit a pretty decent trip in this race.
Got to mention that going into tomorrow, and the Asmussen barn does send out Tapmaster, we mentioned in that allowance that starts the late pick four tomorrow. Toby Sheets, the usually reliable Toby Sheets division here in New York, 0-17.
I know, start it's amazing. It's so true because they just, all they do is win in New York, it seems like, and they're struggling right now. So that's definitely something to keep in mind. And they've sent, listen, they're going to have a lot of horses running here this weekend, so we'll see how it all plays out.
Well, and it's certainly, I mean, as we've gone through the Triple Crown, and not just the Triple Crown season, but the whole lead-up, the whole road to the Triple Crown season has been Asmussen season. Steve's been on the show like five times since the beginning of the year.
All over the country. His horses are just winning.
He's been funny. His last appearance after Baltimore, he was hysterical. I mean, that was – or actually it was before Baltimore because I saw him – it must have been after Derby because I saw him. I got so much reaction to that visit when he was really animated and quite funny. So let's get to the True North. Mike Beer with us from the Forum, and Mike will be back on Friday to do the Saturday work. But I wanted everybody to get a full, you know, the full panorama of these first 2 days of the Racing Festival. And boy, oh boy. This True North, the Met is great, the Woody Stevens is great, and this Grade 2 is superb.
Yeah, this came up really strong, right? So, you know, I guess it goes through Catalina Cruiser. You know, I guess that's, you know, sort of the focus. He's got the three, you know, really fast races from last year where he won them all, including the Pat O'Brien and the San Diego. So I spent a lot of time thinking about this race. You know, because Catalina Cruiser, I do think he's going to be a relatively short price in here. And I ultimately decided that he's a horse I'm trying to beat at a short price. Not only is he off the layoff and off of a really disappointing run at the Breeders' Cup. You know, obviously he wasn't going to beat City of Light anyway that day. But, I mean, he didn't run at all in there. You know, and so you go through his other races, you know, he beats three other horses. And I know Battle of Midway was one of them. He beats three other horses in the Pat O'Brien, and then, you know, he wins the San Diego in a race where, you know, they just let him cut the pace in there, and he was too good for those horses, too. I know he's talented. I don't necessarily want him at a short price because I don't think this race came up weak. And, you know, I'll use him defensively, but I'm trying to beat that horse. And, you know, Whitmore seems like the logical horse to play against him with. Whitmore just shows up every time. He's, you know, legit. You know, graded stakes quality sprinter. You know, I like Whitmore just fine, and I'm definitely using him. I didn't think he ran great in the Churchill Downs last time, but that was also a race that, you know, in my personal opinion, didn't set up great for him, and it didn't set up great for Duchere either, and I picked Duchere on top. I like the form that Mike Maker's gotten this horse back into. He was never this kind of horse when Linda Rice had him in New York, but he was always rock solid. And I kind of feel like he's maybe made the jump to the next level. His General George was a little underrated, I thought, where Uncontested, you know, the pace looked fast, but Uncontested was just up there all alone the entire way, and nobody really made an impact, but he did. He made up some ground in that race. His Tom Fool was really good. It was, you know, the perfect situation for him as a closer with a fast contested pace in front of him. But he really ran in there, and it was a really fast race. And, you know, just getting to that Churchill Downs, you know, we're going to talk about Mattioli and Promises Fulfilled. They're two major players in the Met Mile, and they're two really fast horses. But when I go through that Churchill Downs, and I know the pace looks fast, you know, where was everybody in there? Mattioli, Bobby's Wicked One, Promises Fulfilled sit up on the pace together the entire way, and nobody makes up any ground at the end of the race. Duchere actually made a pretty significant run from well out of it in there. I liked the run that he put in. I thought he ran an underrated race last time. I'm going to take a chance with him in this race and, you know, sort of concentrate on him and Whitmore and try and beat Catalina Cruiser in this race. You know, the other horse for me that I'll use somewhere is Nicodemus for Linda Rice, because I think she made the right decision to run here because the Met Mile is just coming up too tough for him. But I think he's an underrated horse, and I think he's still improving. So I'm going to use Nicodemus as well.
Yeah, and he's finally healthy, and that right. You know, the patience that was shown by the Goichmans and the Friedbergs, a big part of that. This has got all kinds of intrigue. You got a horse like Strike Power, you know, who's got things you know, back up and running after, you know, some mm-hmm. flashing real talent last year as a 3-year-old. Duchere, I found him in the Tom Fool, and that was a good find at the time, and I included him as well. And I'm glad you pointed out that run, what might have been against the track a little bit at Churchill, and the way that race unfolded. He doesn't have to come from way out of it either. I mean, he's got some options, and certainly Arad Ortiz, knows how to work out that trip. I'm looking at a horse that 2 years ago. On this same weekend, I was so convinced that Gold for the King was going to stun mm-hmm. the Woody Stevens. And it's funny. I mean, he's born out as a nice horse. I mean, he's made 700,000, and yet he isn't a horse that you would identify as being, you know, among any conversation of among elite sprinters. But yeah, I suppose that's a benefit of being a state bred, is that you get to, you know, beat up on you know, that competition, even though he's won against open company, and he certainly ran well in the Toboggan. But I'm going to feel awful if I don't have, you know, Gold for the King, you know, 2 years removed from when I was, I mean, I went into that day, Mike, people said, who do you like today? I said, Gold for the King is going to win the Woody Stevens.
You know, unfortunately for you that day, you know, he finished sixth beating 10 Lakes in that race. He actually didn't run poorly in the Woody Stevens at all. But that was, unfortunately for you, you know, you couldn't beat Baffert that day. He was never going to beat American Anthem in that race. This horse, we feel the same way about him, Steve. I love this horse. I am a huge fan of his. And I'm actually kind of surprised that it hasn't panned out, that he has been, like, really competitive in open company stakes races. And, you know, listen, it's very smart what his connections have done to keep him in those state bred races, because, as you say, you can just make hay in them, and he's put a lot of money in the bank. But this horse is more talented than that. It just feels like he's one of those horses that doesn't always show up. You know, he'll show up with a big one, and then, you know, a race or two later, he'll show up with nothing at all, and you wonder what happened. You know, it's interesting that Charlie Baker's entering him here, though, off the layoff.
You know, we should also mention, looking down on the rail, Castellano picks up Bon Raison, and Carlos Martin, cutting back, has got a healthy ROI. And he's been terrific. And, you know, he only got beat by, you know, Firenze Fire on that explosive, you know, that explosive performance. I can't wait until Friday when you give us your Met Mile selection. But this is a wonderful addition. I mean, the True North, the True North has its profile has, you know, continued to be raised. And it's a race to look forward to. And we should mention it starts this 20-cent. Are you going to play that 2-day 20-cent?
Yeah, I think I will, actually. I think
jackpot?
That's a very interesting bet. Yeah, that's an interesting wager they put together for this year.
And it starts with the True North. That gets us to the New York. The Grade 2 got a fun cast in here. Then, of course, you can't run these races without Chad Brown and Homeric and Competition of Ideas. Vexatious now in the hands of Jack Sisterson, who's really emergent. Lady Montdor came up the other day because of her sibling. Holy Helena, talking about a horse that's accrued earnings. Interesting addition to this, a mile and a quarter.
Yeah, it is. I'm ashamed to say, admit that I chalked it out with Almerique. It felt like she had every reason to, you know, not win the Bogey on the way in there, you know, with the layoff and the shorter distance for her. And, you know, Chad had mentioned before the race that maybe she, you know, her training didn't go perfectly as planned leading into it. And then they run the race and she's sitting last behind a crawl of a pace. And she still wins. I don't know. I thought she was really impressive in there. She's supposed to like the stretch out and distance based on what she was doing last year in France and where they were running her in some top races. I don't know. I'm just going to take her. You know, it made the decision easier for me, mostly because Chad's other horse, who I know is a contender in here, she just doesn't do it for me. And she ran fine in the Bogey too. And she's a Grade 1 winner at this distance, her final start last year in the American Oaks. I don't know. I'm just not a huge fan. I'm not sure how good I really think she is. The American Oaks that she won seemed like a pretty weak running to that race. When you're talking about visually impressive wins, it was visually impressive, but I don't know what she was beating in there. And, you know, Homerique, you know, didn't really seem like she had that much trouble running her down last time. I know Competition of Ideas was on the rail trying to close up the inside, but, you know, Homerique just kind of ran right by her in there. I think Homerique just might be better than her.
Among the other considerations, I thought that I'm anxious for the morning line.
Yeah.
I'm interested in Semper Centatia.
Yeah, I put that horse third, and I put Lady Montdor second. They were my the other two horses I wanted to use in the race. Semper Centatia is, you know, she broke her maiden last September and hasn't won since, but she's run nothing but good races since then. Hit the board in all of them. She's right there, and I like her running style for this race. I think that horse has a chance to turn out to be okay, and I'm willing to give Lady Montdor one more. That soft turf in the Sheepshead Bay, I don't think she really appreciated that at all. And she ran well enough in her races last year over here to make me think that she can go with these horses. I would like to see Kendrick get a little more aggressive with her this time. I know when she wired the Glens Falls, it was just a super slow pace, and that had a lot to do with it, but I like this filly when she gets forward and they use her speed a little bit. I'm going to use her in Semper Centatia with the favorite.
The Belmont Gold Cup, and I'm sure there will be, I really should pull up the betting menu. I'm sure there'll be a Gold Cup Belmont.
Yeah, the Gold Cup Belmont double, yeah.
Yes. And this two-mile race, these races confound a lot of people, Mike. How do you approach them?
Yeah, well, I try to look for, you know, horses, if you can find them, that actually seem like they might like the distance. And, you know, luckily for us in this race, there's a lot of horses that have already run the 2 miles, so you can get a good idea from there. They're difficult to decipher. You know, Arklow feels like he'll be the favorite. I have no problem with that. I like Arklow, and I like him as a horse. He's never been 2 miles, so we'll see. You know, how short a price do you want on him in here? I don't know. I liked his Man of War last time I bet him in there, because I thought he ran a terrific race, but he also had a great setup. There was a very fast pace in front of him, and he came rolling from last, and he just missed getting there. But this horse is headed the right way. I think he really improved the second half of last year, and I think he's going to keep it going this year. I'm not way against him. I didn't pick him, but I'm going to use him. So I picked the three, Amade from France. So, you know, when you look at this horse's PPs, he was in, they ran him in claiming races last year in France. That's not a good sign. But he got on a real run once they stretched him way out in distance, and he won 5 straight races. including a turf race in France. A lot of them aren't synthetic, but he won a turf race at a mile and 7/8 really, really impressively. I don't think he was beating a good field that day, but it was a really impressive win. He made you'll never see a horse make an earlier move in a mile and 7/8 race. He had that thing taken over. There was, like, still a mile to go, and he never stopped running, and he just kept getting better from there. 2 miles, 2 1/8 miles, this horse goes all day long, and he's got a pretty big turn of foot. So I just took him thinking he'd be a good price, and the distance is great for him. And the other horse that is interesting is Ra Atoll, because this horse was China Racing Club and John Gosden as a three-year-old, and he won two in a row. They ran him in the King Edward. He set the pace in there and was still hanging around at the end. He ran a really good race that day, and then something went wrong in his final start, and they sold him for almost no money, something like, you know, between $40,000 and $60,000 they sold this horse for after the Princess of Wales Stakes. He was purchased by Luke Comer, who's listed as owner and trainer, and they took him to Germany for his first start this year to go 2 miles. And you'll notice the race that he ran in over there. It's the Comer Group International. So Luke Comer, his company, sponsors this race. This horse goes off at 32-1 and wins. So talk about putting horses over. They put this horse over in there.
That's great.
And he's showing up in this race, but he was really good as a three-year-old. And he got the 2 miles last time. And when you watch his races, he just sits right up close to base. He's got speed. And when you start going through this field, it feels like he's just going to be either on the lead or sitting right up close. So I think you have to use that horse. But I picked the three on top just to get a little bit of a better price in there.
Well, I can tell you that our man, Joe the Dude, Joe Kaufman, Joe will bet Ra Atoll, because one of Joe's favorite race course visits is Hopgarten. So when he sees that Ra Atoll ran last and won at Hopgarten, Joe the Dude will be all over it. That's a great pickup on Comer. That was slick. I love it. And Mike, I guess we should look at the nightcap for those that are playing the big multis.
Oh yeah, the last race. I put Ragtime Susie on top just because I'm interested in her getting back to turf. I know she, you know, her only win came on dirt last year, but I thought her turf races were actually okay. And I like her getting back to turf in this race for Tom Bush. Funny money, honey. Listen, they dropped her for 40 for her turf debut last time, but she ran lights out. 75 buyer. She absolutely crushed that field. I don't see how you play the multis and you don't use funny money, honey, but I wanted to throw Ragtime Susie in there too.
Can't do better than this. You should be all set. Those of you, put your pencils down. We'll be around to collect your wager decision shortly. Mike Beer, outstanding. Get to work. Write up the Saturday analysis. We'll look forward to it in the pages of the Daily Racing Form, America's Turf Authority. America's Turf Authority.
Am I supposed to know this? What is it? 1898? Is that right?
94.
Something like
that. Oh, Jay Privman is going to beat you up now, boy.
Yeah. All right. I'll do better next time. I was told there'd be no math, Steve.
We will talk to you on Friday. Maybe. How about you and dueling Nick Tamaro?
Sounds good.
All right.
I miss Nick. I haven't talked to him in a while.
Well, are you coming out Saturday?
I'll be there. Yeah, hopefully. I'm hoping to be there Friday and Saturday. Yeah.
Oh, great.
I'll be there.
Yep. How early will you be here Friday?
Not sure. Should I try and get there at a certain time?
Yeah, well, I'm on 9 to noon, so if you know, and what's first post?
I'll let you know. I'll send you a text and let you know what time I'm going to get there.
All right, we will plan on it, and at the very worst, we'll get you, if we have to do it by phone, we will. But, Mike, I really appreciate it, and I know players will as well. Mike Beer, everybody, and looking forward to having him up at Saratoga as well, and back on the beam with Mike Beer. Let's take a break. Our last of the morning, Jeremy Plonk closes it out here at Belmont Park, and we'll get his final thoughts and, of course, the added notes in the ExpressBet Belmont Stakes Wagering Guide should be pouring in, including Eddie Olchick and Johnny's final analysis and play, and Brent Musburger, too. Back after this.
the latest racing news. It's At the Races with Steve Vick on Sirius XM Radio.
DRF Sports Forum Digital Edition, your ultimate weekly betting guide. Published by Daily Racing Form, DRF Sports Forum delivers all of the analysis and insight you need for every NFL game and more than 40 college football matchups. Beat the spread with powerful trends and sharp angles. Tap into best bets, expert picks, parlay winners, and more. All for just $4.99 per issue. Get this week's edition free. Visit drf.com/sportsforum. Enter code DRF Sports.
University of Arizona Racetrack Industry Program can prepare you for an exciting career in racing. Turn your passion into a paycheck. Nearly 90% of our students are employed in the racing industry immediately upon graduation. What career track are you on? The University of Arizona Racetrack Industry Program. Enroll today and get on track for success. For scholarship opportunities and more, check out our website at ua-rtip.org.
Do you ever wonder what happens to your old friends, including the great champions that inspired unforgettable memories, and maybe even let you cash a ticket or two over the years? We even have a former child prodigy.
Here is a superstar. That horse's name is Afternoon Delights, and kept the summer on Afternoon Delights absolutely galloping in the Hollywood Futurities.
These are the champions that help out the horses that might not have won a Grade 1 race, but always tried just as hard. Come visit them all at Old Friends when you're in Kentucky or at our Bobby Frankel division, Old Friends in Saratoga. I know they'll be glad to see you. Go to oldfriendsequine.org or call us at 502-863-1775.
Get started in Kentucky. Over $8 million in additional purse money is available at the five Kentucky tracks for horses eligible for the Kentucky Thoroughbred Development Fund. Kentucky is a good place to race your Kentucky bred. Come home to Kentucky and make a start.
HorseBills.com is a cost-effective, time-saving, paperless revolution. Vendors are able to generate electronic invoices for owners and other vendors who can pay through HorseBills.com for just 50 cents. Turn hours of work into minutes with our easy-to-use site. Have our team take over your bookkeeping or continue to do it yourself and pay only our low monthly subscription fee. Check out our video tutorial on the HorseBills.com YouTube channel and get started today for free. HorseBills.com. Toll-free number 888-9
3-8-4-6-4-3. Breaking down the biggest stories in the world of horse racing, this is At the Races with Steve Vick on Sirius XM Radio.
You have my heart, and we'll never be worlds apart. Maybe in magazines, but you still be my star. Baby, cause in the dark, you can't see shiny cars. And that's when you need.
We're back at the races, just about 15 minutes to close out today on midweek Belmont Stakes lead up. Appreciate the terrific Mike Beer visit, and you got Thursday and Friday all lined up, and we'll bring in the closer, Jeremy Plonk. We'll put on the Who can we? Let me think. Who's appropriate? We're going to Kent Tekulve.
I got to come sidearm submarine. I guess come out of the pen. Back in the day, Al Holland, Mr. T,
Al Holland,
the Phillies throw
look
lefty
at you.
At Veterans Stadium, maybe coming. But I'm a righty though, so yeah, I'll go Tekulve with the submarine ball from the right side.
Exactly, and close it out. And those that are going to be. Yeah, working toward Saturday and the Belmont Stakes decisions, the draw doesn't necessarily affect much when it comes to Belmont, given the place, the width and the expanse. But Jovia, certainly from inside is going to go. Yesterday I had Danny Gargan, and he says Tax is going to go. Intrepid Heart's going to be forward with Blinkers and Johnny V. What do you think, Jeremy?
Well, I think, being near the pace is a good thing in the Belmont Stakes historically, and not necessarily the pace marker and try to wire the thing, but you want to be pretty forwardly placed to have your best chance. And, I think some of the horses, Jovia not being one of those, but I think Intrepid Heart and Tax are both horses that, if given fair prices, are horses that you want to take a look at in the Belmont near the front. If if you're going to win this race, you know, you're probably not going to outclose Tacitus, and you're probably not going to stalk and pounce better than War of Will. So the recipe to beat them would kind of be to be in front of them throughout. I don't think Jovia is a contender in that category. I think it'll take him a mile and a 16th or so as far as he can, and then he'll give way midway on the far turn. So the other two that you talk about are horses that I have very much in my thought process as I get through my final handicapping paces. I think Tax is a live player, and I think so is Intrepid Heart. I think those are two horses, you know, that Tax obviously will be, you know, double-digit odds. Intrepid Heart, I'm not quite sure what the public will do. You know, David Blind gave him, I think, 10-1. Probably goes lower than that just because the public has jumped on this horse all three times. There will be some split of the Pletcher money, but I think, I don't know. I mean, of the two, would you rather have Intrepid Heart with some upside or Spin Off a horse you've already seen? I kind of think Intrepid Heart will get bet more than Spin Off of the two Pletcher horses. So, you know, I don't know, 6-8-1, somewhere around that. Could you get interested in Intrepid Heart at that price? I think so.
Well, that, as you know from the wagering guide last week, I picked
Heart.
Intrepid Heart. Yeah, you know, if, one of the, I mean, it's funny because, you know, the commissioner thing is more or less for me a sidebar. But I was interested, you know, he had me at Pletcher saying, that's my Belmont horse. That came after the maiden win. And when I asked, I said, what, you know, is Intrepid Heart, is it too late for Derby? We're going to, you know, we're going after Belmont. Just resonated.
Yeah, and, you know, he debuted the same day to the year that Justify did, the exact same debut date. He's not Justified by any stretch, obviously, from what they did from when they were unveiled until now. But if you say, well, you know, you can't come from, you know, that date to this date and win a Belmont Stakes, things changed a little bit last year, and I don't know if it becomes, you know, do you always want to go that route? Probably not, but do you want to, you know, say that this horse has a chance? I think you do. And so Intrepid Heart is a player. You know, the three career starts is a worry to go a mile and a half. There is so much training that is done now in the AM versus just getting races in the horses for whatever means that is, you know, and I don't know the explanation for it. I just know the cause and effect. And horses are running better without races in between now than they have in the past. So can a horse with just three career starts be fit enough to go a mile and a half? I'm not crazy enough to say no.
What's your ticket going to look like, you think?
Well, I think Tassius is going to be part of it. You know, I mean, he just seems very, very reliable. I have a lot of respect for War of Will, you know. But War of Will, if you look at his past performances, you know, you go back, he hasn't had a break in training since he got to the racetrack. His gap between his last start at 2 and the LeCompte was only 8 weeks, so he really wasn't taken out of any training of any serious amount of time at all. You know, he's gone a long time, so the grind may get to him. Of the two favorites, I think Tacitus is a little more trustworthy, and I think you've got to have Tacitus in the 2-3 spot if you're putting tickets together. But the horses, you know, as I mentioned already, Tax and Intrepid Heart are definitely part of my wagering with Tacitus underneath. And you know, Everfast, I give a little bit of a shot to. That was a pretty good Preakness effort. He got a good brisk late pace figure despite a fast pace in that race. To get 100 coming home was pretty good, and maybe he's just good right now. Dale's had a good success getting horses on the board in the Belmont. 4 of them have run third, so you know, Everfast is a horse I'll be using on the bottom side too. I'm toying around right now with some things that have Tax and Intrepid Heart on top. And, you know, Tacitus keeping the second and third spot.
Very good. Well, give everybody also, Jeremy, before we talk other parts of the weekend, the additional information coming from Johnny and from Eddie O and from Brent Musburger.
Yeah, we'll have updates to the ExpressBet wager guide, the Belmont Stakes wager guide. You can download free. Go to ExpressBet.com. Doesn't matter what state you live in. Doesn't matter if you're an account holder or not. There's access to everybody for that. So, again, go to ExpressBet.com and check that out. And we're updating the guide. It was originally published on Friday. No major changes, really, to the field. The only horse who came in after we published was Bourbon War, and no one seems to have a great interest, including him, in their inclusions to this point. So what we published kind of stands for the most part. with everyone's thoughts after the draw. And, you know, we'll get updates. Eddie Olczyk and Brett Musburger will give their analysis for the first time, and our updated version will be available later this week. You'll be able to download that beginning on Friday. So looking forward to seeing what they have to say in here. And, you know, two big voices to spread the word about ExpressBet and the Belmont Stakes. Good promotion for the industry. You know, the Belmont may not have the cachet of some years for the Triple Crown or a big rubber match between the Derby and Preakness winners, but it's still the Belmont Stakes, and it's a huge undercard, and this will have a lot of national attention.
Well, talk a little bit, Jeremy, as you've been handicapping for really all, you know, really you could do Thursday, Friday, Saturday, any highlights. What's jumped off the page at you?
Honestly, I focused on Saturday first because the draw was so early, so I was kind of, I'll work backwards because, you know, Saturday's my main focus day and a lot of the publication work that I'm doing, and then I'll work backwards towards Friday. So I'm a little in the dark on Friday yet. I'll actually work on that in the next day or two. But I've looked at Saturday, got the PPs last night, spent 4 or 5 hours on it last night and some time this morning. You know, look, the smaller field, the first half of the card, a little bit disappointing. And, you know, so if you're wagering, I think multi-race wagers early in the card will be the way to approach those 6, 7, 8 horse fields. Try to string together a couple winners in a row, a couple big favorites, Rushing Fall, some of those types early on the card, you know, that you'll have to work around. Come Dancing, Midnight Bisou, can't wait to see that matchup because that's one of those classics. Come Dance is going to go out there. There's no other speed in the race. Midnight Bisou, maybe the best horse and the best filly in training right now, mare. You know, it's an either-or. Come Dancing leads. Midnight Bisou comes after her. I think it's a must too deep in your multi-race wagers, and it'll be interesting to see the way that one works out. A World of Trouble coming back in the sprint ranks. Just so good right now. You know, he's a neck away from winning 7 races in a row. You don't do that in the sprint ranks. You know, sprinters are usually up, down, a couple bad finishes, a bobble here and there, and a tough field gets you beat. For a sprinter to win 6 out of 7 and lose by a neck in the other just tells you what kind of form that horse is in. Really interested in watching that race. And I can't wait to see Honest Mischief back, the Chad Brown trainee who was so dominant at Keeneland. You know, I've worked for Keeneland over a decade now, doing every single race scouting for that track, going back to 2007, so 12 years now. That was as impressive undercard race as I've ever seen at Keeneland when Honest Mischief ran off and hid that day. I can't wait to see what he's got in the Woody Stevens against a good field. You know, that's a top-class field of 3-year-old sprinters in there, Mind Control and Baffert's Horse. Lexingtonian ran a really good, surprising race at Pimlico on the Preakness undercard, and those horses coming out of that race have done pretty well in the Woody Stevens over the years. So it's kind of been a pretty telling race. So Lexingtonian might be a long shot. We won last time. You say, well, I missed the wedding. Well, maybe you come back and you get another 15-1 price because I don't think the horse is going to get bet again. But Honest Mischief, I'm really, really excited to see him. Of all the horses on the undercard on Belmont Day, can't wait for the Woody Stevens and seeing what that Chad Brown trainee has to offer.
And that one, one of my favorite race mares of all time.
Yeah,
Honest Lady. In fact, earlier today, Ron Anderson, we talked about Empire Maker, and yeah, it's one of the great, not just Judmont families, one of the great families in all of racing.
And Honest Lady second in the Met Mile over this track. So if you're wondering, well, you know, Honest Mischief has the one race at Keeneland. How will that translate to Belmont? You don't know. So you're going on things like pedigree. Into Mischief seemed to run just about anywhere. But Mama ran good against the boys in the Met Mile, running second back in 2000. So you know, we'll see. I mean, pedigree doesn't mean everything, but when you don't have much in the running lines, you got to get creative. And you know, we'll see if that huge, huge win last time out can be duplicated against better competition.
What else you like?
I'm worried in the, you know, I focus on the 3-year-olds mostly and where I have my strongest take. I loved Always Mining going into the Preakness, and I was so bitterly disappointed with the way he just stopped at the quarter pole that I'm not sure about this placement coming back 3 weeks later in the Easy Goer, the third race on the card on Saturday. So Always Mining 6-5 in the morning line on credentials. You know, he looks like a solid favorite. This just looks like a weird spot to me. It just doesn't look right, so I'm going to go elsewhere in there. Always Mining is speed, so if you don't like Always Mining, you can't like the other speed horses in the race because you figure they cancel each other out. If you're going to beat a horse like that, it's from behind. Love Dreammaker. I think he's one of the horses to really watch on the undercard. And Grump's Little Tots for service, I think, is better than that Wood Memorial showed after, you know, a rough start for several of those in there. Grump's Little Tots' previous races puts him in the mix there. But Dream Maker, Cassie's going so well right now. Julian's riding as good as anybody in the country the last 7 to 10 days. I think Dream Maker from off the pace, you know, he's so hit or miss. Dream Maker either runs a big one or you know, you kind of wonder, you know, why did I think this horse had talent? So I don't know which Dream Maker shows up. He's going to get the right pace scenario and probably the right price because Outshine will get bet. Always Mining is sure to get bet in there. And I'm a huge Always Mining fan. Again, you know, anybody who listened to me going into the Preakness, I loved him. But, man, I don't know. That was an about face for me from the quarter pole home and to come back on 3 weeks and go to a traveling road show now to a track that he hasn't competed over. I'll go with others in there. And Dream Maker, one I'm interested in on the undercard.
Well, you know, and what's interesting about that decision, I mean, it's $150,000. It's a listed stake. You know, next week there's the Matt Wynn at Churchill, which is a grade three for $150 at 8.5. So, you know, that could have been the spot. She could also.
Yeah, and you know, look, he's in the Mid-Atlantic. We know there's going to be a lot of money. I mean, you got to wait till like August for Mountaineer and things like that, but the Ohio Derby, you know, coming up at Thistle, it's a pretty easy ship from Maryland to Cleveland. You know, I mean, there were other places to go that seemed to make a little more sense, give the horse a little time off. You know, he had a full winter. He ran completely straight through the winter. So, you know, a couple weeks off and get geared up and go win the Ohio Derby for three times the money or something like that. This is a weird place for him. And you know, they've handled the horse superbly well to this point. So, I think Runnymede Racing and Kelly Rubley, no disrespect to them whatsoever, because they have gotten more mileage out of this horse than a lot of folks could have. I just don't understand this place. You know, this kind of seems like a consolation. You know, there's a comma and something at the end of the sentence, and it doesn't kind of go with what started it. And I can't figure it out. So at 6-5 in the morning line, I don't think it'll be 6-5, but he's going to be sub 2-1. You know, at 8-5, 9-5. I got to try something else.
Fair enough. Jeremy, we're looking forward to everybody filling out the additional selections and plays, including Johnny and Eddie and Brent Musburger and the Belmont Stakes Wagering Guide from ExpressBet. And it's open to everybody. Best of luck this weekend, and we will count down to Crown 2020 starting next week.
That's it. This is the end. So 14 years in the book.
I love it. Well done. Jeremy Plonk, horseplayernow.com, and Countdown to the Crown. I want to thank Deja on the board, and we had extended conversations with Ron Anderson and with Sid Fernando and Mike Beer and Jeremy today. Come back tomorrow with some Lenny Shulman, who stopped 5 minutes ago. Lenny and Steve Askin through the magic of technology tomorrow. We'll pretend that the three of us are here the way we used to be. And much more. Pete Pornatel delayed. We're going to get Pete live Friday instead. And everything else. We'll check in with Tony Black. I've got to catch up with Rich Eng. We haven't heard from Rich in a few weeks. Want to get him on as well. And then we'll get some other local voices here. If you missed anything, SteveBick.com, Archive Podcast. And replay tomorrow here. Sirius XM, 6 to 9, and HRRN later this afternoon, 3 o'clock, as they gear up for Belmont coverage. Talk to you tomorrow, everybody. Thanks.